We're talking with Kate McAllister. She is the president and CEO of the Greater Sandpoint Chamber of Commerce. Kate, thank you for taking time to talk with us.
You are very welcome. It's always my pleasure.
So, as one with your finger on the pulse of local companies here in Sandpoint, we thought we'd just check in on how things are going, or how you judge things are going so far this summer for the local business community.
Well, everyone seems to be doing fine now. We had a great spring, then a little bit of a slowdown in probably May and June. And everyone figures it's probably the weather, because I, you know, walk around and I go chambering quite frequently to talk to businesses. And most of them have said just recently that summer just started, 4th of July weekend, because now it seems like everything's breaking open. So they're all doing fairly well. I mean, better than expected. They're not down anything, but, you know, again, June probably because of weather, business was a little off, but not too bad. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're coming off a couple of the strangest years any of us know about with the pandemic. And that was particularly hard on certain segments of our business community. I mean, it was hard on all of them across the board.
Right.
But the ones that have come out of that, do you think they've come out of it like maybe healthier or in some respect, or you know, better positioned in the market, in the local marketplace?
I think that everyone learned a lot of lessons, and they probably learned them the hard way. You know, during the pandemic, we were really surprised about how much business Sandpoint and the surrounding area did have. But, you know, that was also because other states were locked down. But it continued. 2021 was just huge. I mean, tourism, you know, was huge. And 98% of our businesses downtown really rely on tourism. There was just, I think, the image maker and a couple barbers that said they didn't rely on tourism. But just about everybody else, you know, but it's also the trickle-down theory. I think that businesses are stronger. The unfortunate thing is, like, it seems like COVID took every employee out of town it possibly could, mm-hmm. you know, and that's housing, et cetera. But I think they are stronger. They're tougher. They're leaner. They're much leaner. Mm-hmm. And they've had to be. But everybody so far, I don't think we've had anybody really go out of business because of the pandemic. So I think we're very lucky in that aspect.
Well, speaking about housing, that's definitely an issue that local businesses are contending with. Mm-hmm. Workforce housing. A lot of local businesses find it difficult to hire because our wage structure in the community isn't high enough for our workers, our workforce, to afford the rents here, mm-hmm. or even find a place to live.
Right.
So yeah. How are, I don't know what kind of hard information you have, and that's anecdotal on my part.
No, it's absolutely true. I mean, we have business owners who are buying fifth wheelers to house some of their employees. We have business owners who are on every apartment list in the area, and some are willing to pay first and last month's rent to get, you know, people into housing. And it is interesting because one thing, too, we have the strictest vacation short-term rental ordinance in the state. And so that's proving very good for us. So we can't have everything, you know, like Coeur d'Alene seems to have, I heard, had quite a few of the vacation rentals. And so they have a real shortage there. We also had a number of people, investors, who decided this was a great time to come in and, you know, buy all these houses and then rent them out for rents that we simply can't afford here. Our lower wage earners just are really struggling. And, you know, it's one of those situations, for example, right now, at the city, we have over 1,600 housing units in the pipeline somewhere, whether the beginning, the middle, or they're ready. But you and I both know, even when a developer says, hey, you know, we're going to get this done right away, well, that's still two and a half years out. And it's very frightening to think of individuals having to move out because who's going to service? Yes, we're getting a lot of in-migration, but the in-migration, the bulk of them are retirees. So they're not going to go into the workforce, but they, you know, they want services. And so we're at this moment in time where, you know, the only thing I can say is at least we're not alone, because every small town, people are flooding the metropolises and heading mm-hmm. to small towns. And it's really difficult for all of us. You know, we have some things, strategic planning on the council that we've been looking at, but, you know, even that is not instant. And we have Culver's Crossing, which is great, you know, but again, that's another couple years before people are going to be able to get into it, and they're going to have to do a lottery because they have so many applications. So I think it's going to be a matter of, you know, give and take. The, you know, maybe one of the options to look at is like the Kinnexu land trust, that we take the land equation out so it makes the homes less expensive. I understand lumber is going down, so maybe that will help. You know, also I see as well that our growth is still going to continue, but we're seeing kind of a slowdown, which is good, but we're not really seeing the prices of homes come down, and certainly not rentals. And, you know, I think people really need to almost, you know, really have a heart. But when you're an investor, like a little house right next door to ours, it's 900 square feet. It, people were bidding on it. It sold for $425,000. Well, the mortgage payment is $2,000. So you have to, you know, pay that much rent. So it's just, it seems like such a quagmire of, but my heart goes out. I'm truly an advocate for the low wage earners, because that was me for many, many, many years. And it just feels like a helpless situation. And so, you know, we're trying to figure out, all of the parties are coming together, but I don't know if there's a simple or easy solution.
Yeah, and we should clarify, in addition to being the president of the chamber, you're also president of the city council.
Oh, right.
So you actually are, you're feeling it as a advocate for the business community, but also as a council person, these things. So housing remains a big problem. You did mention the Kinnexu Land Trust, and, and they've floated out the idea of a community housing trust,
right,
in which the land that they could own and control could be used for affordable housing, with some limitations on how people can sell it or turn it over to, it, you know, try to keep speculators out of it. And that's a really interesting idea. Do you know how far along the Kinnexu Land Trust is right now with kind of trying to shape that idea up into something that is actionable?
Well, right now what we're doing at the city is we just finished a land use survey, a very comprehensive land use survey, what we have, you know, what we need, et cetera. And so I think once that is really fleshed out and we have the report in front of us, we're going to be able to see exactly what kind of land that we have. I know in Sandpoint, we're almost running out of land in Sandpoint proper, right? We have some infill. But as you know, there, you know, we're kind of on a, well, we're on top of a big bunch of water. And so people sometimes are having a difficult time putting in a foundation because it fills right up. And and so we're identifying those specific areas right now that can be built out. I know that, you know, we're looking at all kinds of options and, you know, in the area of city impact. And I think Kinnexu could really be a great partner. I actually think it's going to take all of us. It's going to take all of the cities. It's going to take the county. It's going to take all of us together to really help solve this problem. And so I think Kinnexu will just be one part of the solution. And it's a great solution. Other towns are using it. You know, Park City, I think Ketchum is using it now, if I remember. Yeah, we were both at that.
And that can remove the land cost as a big part of the housing equation, which brings prices down quite a bit. So it's a very interesting thing, and hopefully something shapes up there. You mentioned the land use survey question. I don't know the answer to here. Is that including lands adjacent to city limits that could still be annexed into the city because they're right there close to services?
Right, that's the area of city impact. And so we're looking, everything's on the table. We're looking at everything. And, you know, right now, too, the area of city impacts to the west is just beyond the railroad tracks.
Yeah, going out Baldy.
And so that's a tremendous amount of money to go under those tracks. There are a few areas there to do the utilities, to do the water, sewer, et cetera. But everything's on the table. And we, you know, that would be something, and that includes the county, too. Let's kind of all get together and talk about what would be the best thing for, you know, we need dense areas that we can put houses in and, you know, hopefully keep the rural places rural, because we certainly don't want to invade that. But, you know, and going back to employers, I'm really proud of Schweitzer that they are putting together employee housing. And then once those, I think they're 84 units.
In Ponderay.
Yeah, in Ponderay.
They're building on. They might be building right now. They're very soon, anyways. They start construction on that. And then they have a second phase that would be even larger.
And that's what we need. I mean, that's what, you know, we're all going to have to feel the pinch, I think.
One more question on how local businesses are doing. What kind of impact do you think inflation and supply chain issues have been happening locally? Do you have any feedback on that?
Yeah, that's a tough one. We're seeing inflation happen right now. For example, you know, the events we're having, we're not getting as many people from out of town. So you can say gas prices, you can say just the things of cost going up. I think it's just the perfect storm of all of those things coming together. But supply chain, I mean, even something as small as I have a little remodel that's going to happen, and the supply chain is just crazy. It's been over a year. And, you know, so I think everybody's feeling that effect, that they can't, we can't get what we want as soon as we want.
Yeah, you have to wait for certain things.
I guess it's a time for all of us to learn patience, right? But yeah, I can see
that's
that
the
happening.
Zen approach,
right? Kate. Yeah. Right. Let's just calm down and think about that, right?
Yeah. Okay, well, let's turn to a little different subject, and you did kind of touch on it, I guess, but the Chamber is our tourism leader with the Visit Sandpoint group, and so how is tourism doing this summer in Sandpoint? And it's early. As you mentioned, we had a kind of a rainy spring, so that probably dampened some things.
Well, up through May, you know, we get a tourism report from the state every year about bed, or every month about bed tax, and we were at least three times over what our normal range is. And I think June kind of, again, maybe it was because it was rainy, fell off a little bit. But I imagine we've been hitting records all through last year and this year, so I can't imagine that that we'd see it go down anytime sooner, because we have become a destination. I mean, between all of us, all the marketing and advertising we do and word of mouth, I think people, you know, they come here and they're just amazed at how beautiful it is. And that's why we all live here too. So, but I don't see tourism slowing down. I just really don't. And for those who, you know, who can afford the gas and their RVs and to bring all their family here and stay in hotels, that's great for us. Because that helps our local economy, and that's what we need. So,
and we're coming into the real high season when we have some big events going on. We have the Wooden Boat Show come up just this next weekend.
Yeah.
On Friday and Saturday, and that's been around for, I don't know, many years. It got put on hold during the pandemic, so they're back this year. And then after that, we're going into Festival at Sandpoint.
Right.
Then we're going to have the POAX events, you know.
I know, and they're 50 years old this year.
That's right.
It's their 50th anniversary, which is very exciting.
And, of course, the Bonner County Fair always rolls around, so there's a lot of stuff coming up. Not going to be no shortage of things.
No, Longbridge Swim if you want to swim in a wetsuit.
That's right.
All those miles.
Yeah.
Yeah, no thank you.
Well, the people that do it love it.
Oh, I know they love it. And it's such a great event because, you know, they get, you know, 700-800 people here from all over wanting to swim the Longbridge Swim.
Yeah, it's one of the biggest open water swims in the Northwest. And it's such an unusual thing for swimmers, because it's one of the few, maybe the only course where the Longbridge is, they parallel Longbridge. Mm-hmm. So if they have family members or kids or whatever that want to watch them do the swim, they can just walk along with them. So
I know. I'll be a cheerleader on one of the other sides. I just don't think I could swim that far. Man, it's awesome that those people do.
Well, anything you want to update us about with the Sandpoint Chamber itself, with things you have going on? You've just had a couple of your larger events come off. The Summer Sampler, I was at that, and it seemed awfully busy to me.
Yeah, we had just about 1,200 people. I think it was 1,190 something, which was truly amazing. And, you know, because of, I mean, it's a marketing and promotion for most of our little restaurants and caterers, et cetera. But again, they're so short-staffed that this year we kind of called it our rebuilding phase, because we only had, I think, 7 vendors in there. But it was an amazing event. And then we partnered with Maddox Farms, with Rob Talbot, to provide the music, because we always have a music sponsor. It started out that Lighthouse, we had a chef competition for years and years. This year was the 15th year. And then, you know, things change, and so we put in music instead. And so Ting was our music sponsor, half of the music sponsor, and then Maddox Farms brought theirs, their group in, and it really was a great, was a great marriage of the two events.
Yeah, and it was really a locals event.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there were tons of local people there sitting, hanging around, chatting, and there weren't that many vendors, but I'll testify the food was great.
Yeah, wasn't it? Oh, well, Yeah, you can always count on some of the regulars to bring in just the most amazing food. And, you know, next year it'll get better. Hopefully we'll figure out the employee shortage or import people or do something, right? Yeah, yeah. And Beer Fest was great. I mean, the weather was perfect. Last year Beer Fest was 105 or 6, and that was miserable.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. Even a cold beer doesn't offset that.
It was awful. So yeah. This year is about 85 and perfect. Yeah, mm-hmm. It was great.
How about other things going on with the chamber that you might want to mention? Now, you have a monthly general membership meeting,
mm-hmm.
GML, you call it.
Yeah.
And that occurs on, is it the second?
The second Thursday of every month.
Every month.
Right.
And that would be a good place that a business that might be wanting to size up the chamber, do for them.
And we have, you know, we've sent out surveys and people give us topics that they want to hear speakers on. And that's great. And we try to get as many good speakers as we possibly can. And sometimes it's a little difficult, but it's really a great networking. It provides networking. You know, we're going to think about maybe going from a luncheon to a breakfast or something like that. But for now, we're still the luncheon, and it's actually this Thursday. This in July, it's the annual Leadership Sandpoint graduation. And I believe Mr. Justin Dick has been chosen to be the class speaker.
Okay. So, and that's this Thursday.
Yeah, so this Thursday at noon.
Tomorrow is this airs. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And is there still a ticket available to that?
Somebody? There's still plenty of room for that. We had to raise the prices because, of course, Tango had to raise prices. Mm-hmm. So now members are $20 and non-members are $25, mm-hmm. I think. So that's why we're thinking about maybe a breakfast might be better because it might be less expensive mm-hmm. for everyone. But, yeah, that's what we're doing.
I hate to say it. We're out of time.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Well, thank you, Kate McAllister, for filling us in on what's going on with the business community here in town.
You're very welcome. Thanks for inviting me.